A quick word before we begin. Stephen sent me a YouTube in the back. Stephen Brown sent me a YouTube episode where this guy who's pretty learned, goes to Jerusalem and tries to find the places that that are spoken about in the Bible. You know, most of the time, these things happened so long ago that people don't really know where they are. Nobody knows exactly where Jesus was crucified. We know it's Golgotha, but where is that? It's not on Waze. And so there was this interesting video on finding, the Gospels talk about where Jesus was taken when he was flogged, but they use terms that people at the time would have known, but we don't know. And he does a pretty good... this guy has very sound reasons for why he thinks these things. And it's interesting to find these places and being like, whoa, dude, imagine 2,000 years ago, this is the spot. The historian in me loves that. But I also, it's important, I believe, to always be willing to let go of anything that we have held as true in our lives if we believe that the Holy Spirit is calling us to do that. One of the things I always respected and admired about Dad was the fact that he would lay it all on the line. You got a successful church going. The money's coming in. The people are here. You have the respect. You have all of the things that a pastor wants. And if he felt like it was contradictory to what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do, he would not hesitate. That's integrity. And that's something that I want. And I believe that scripturally we can back it up. So this isn't part of the message, but I think it's fundamental to our journey forward. Whether we're reading Romans about circumcision and uncircumcision and all of that stuff, or whether we're reading the Gospels and the actual words of the Lord, that we remember this. And it's in the parable on Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. We've read this before, so I won't spend too long on it. And it's after the sower and the seeds. It's another sower. And he says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said then, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Traditional thought would say that people are being grown, right? That's the wheat. And then in the end times, those who are not the good ones, they'll be bundled up and thrown into hell. But the good wheat gets taken into the barn. But I would argue that there's another way of looking at this. Jesus comes and he's speaking in power. And he's speaking truths, eternal truths, in a parable, in a mystery, in a mystical sense, right? And the people that are there are hearing it and they're responding and they're coming to it. And then his apostles are also preaching in power and the word spreads. But the enemy, the devil, comes and begins twisting those things. Instead of it being love your God and love your neighbor, it becomes good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. And the church has fundamentally twisted the gospel so much so that most people, when they look at the church, not only do they not see the good that is in the gospel, but they actively see a bad thing. That's the tares. In the end times, that's now, that's yesterday, that's forever. We have to gather up the tares and throw them out of our lives and take the wheat into the barn. How would one ever know which are tares and which are wheat? I will send you a helper. That makes sense? Each one of us has to decide for ourselves what are tares. What are the things that got to be burned up? They got to be just taken out of our lives, not for our own sake. For thousands of years, people were worried about circumcision and when to celebrate Easter and who goes. Well, if a baby is born and goes to hell, it hasn't sinned, so it shouldn't go to hell. But it hasn't been baptized, so it should go. It's all twisted up. The tares are all in. You got to separate it out. You can't be just and forgiving at the same time. Jude doesn't clean her room, so I take away her phone and spank her bottom. I don't do either of those things, which is why she doesn't clean her room. And then I say, I forgive you. Well, I haven't forgiven her. She's paid. She paid the price. It's one or it's the other. You have to decide for yourself. I believe that a God who commands me to love would be the ultimate authority on the subject. And somebody who loves doesn't burn people to death. That's a tear. And so I root it out and let it go. And the good wheat, the Holy Spirit's desire that I love, I try and put that in the barn. Not for him, because he's already forgiven me. He already loves me. It's for me, my own personal progress. They've got it all mucked up. We're looking to convert people. It's the blind leading the blind. Ridiculous. Anyhow, I've been wrestling with this idea of how to go about addressing traditional theology, and as we read, we'll just figure it out. We'll figure out what's tares and what's wheat. But I used to on Fridays have kind of so much trouble with some of the things that I was hearing, trying to scare the children into being good, and it used to bother me so much. And my self-righteous indignation just like couldn't let me be at peace about it. Because I just was dwelling on the nature of their wrongness. How dare they be so wrong while I'm being so right? But it's not for them that I love and forgive. It's for me. I let it go. And I've been doing pretty well. And the Fridays, instead of them being this thing where I'm just like wrestling in the back with the cosmic forces of right and wrong, becomes just a peace. And I sing the praise songs because I love him. And he's deserving of praise. And then they preach the things. And some of them are like, yeah, man, that's good. And I was like, I don't know about that. And I just let the tares go. There they go. And then I get to live in peace. The gospel is the helper to help me find what is the true nature. And everybody has that. Today I want to talk about peace and compassion. And everybody knows that. You go to Japan, it's not like they think, well, everybody should just be, very mean and filled with turmoil. They all assume that the natural state of humanity is peace and love and compassion. Because the same creator created them as created me. And so we all know it. And the enemy has been sowing the tares. So that instead of showing peace and compassion, we fight at each other and we divide ourselves. And we revel in our rightness. Jude was watching one of those weird Alice in Wonderland with Johnny Depp with his crazy eyebrows. And he says to her, you are much muchier. You've lost your muchness. And sometimes I feel like I've lost my muchness. But the Holy Spirit reminds me when I'm faithful that the peace is not worried about my muchness, what I think of myself. I believe honestly that peace comes from humbling ourselves. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Right? The word Muslim means to surrender. Hindus and Buddhists think you got to get rid of the ego. We all believe, because the Holy Spirit says, humble yourself. And that's what I believe will bring us peace. I'll start with a Bible verse. My favorite hymn is Be Still My Soul. I think it's because I've lived so much of my life with anxiety. And I think most of our discomfort and pain comes from fear and anxiety, because we're worried we're going to lose our muchness. We're worried that who we are will be diminished or hurt or ended. And that causes us fear and pain. And so we behave in a way that causes us more fear and pain. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, my soul. The Lord will provide. We're on I'm going to read Matthew 11, 28, and 30. I'll try and keep it a little shorter today. Jesus is talking about to the Pharisees about how you can know what the Father is by looking at Him. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord guides us if we are faithful to listen to Him. But it's hard to listen to Him when we're always thinking about what we want and what we deserve. Did that make sense? It's our own ego and pride and arrogance that keeps us from getting the very things that we want. When I was coaching the girls, I'm still coaching and I'm doing a little bit better. Right, Mom? I didn't rant and rave after this game's lot, after we got smoked yet again. It's like Job, I just peacefully, boom. Just murder all my children, it's fine. Just walk right through with patient humility. But I was thinking, as we were losing again, the injustice of it all. I only coached because I wanted to have this experience with my daughter and allow my niece to play. And so I had this vision of like an 80s movie. Like there'd be like a training montage and then like we'd be in the championship and then the girls would carry me off on their shoulders and be like, yeah, we did it. And that my niece and I, who I don't get to see very often, like we would grow together and like all of these good things, right? So I feel like good. I'm doing this good thing and it's going to bring us together and that's good and everybody's going to see how good it is. It's going to be so good. And then we just get wrecked week after week. And not only that, my niece refuses to be coached. In fact, I'll be like, she'll shank it like 3 times in a row. And I'll be like, baby girl, you got to like get the ready position. I'm trying to coach her a little bit. And she goes like that to me. Fire, flame. If I was Superman, she just went, my infrared vision would have disintegrated her. And then I start thinking about, how dare she? How could she? She wouldn't even, do you understand? And then later I start thinking about the injustice. And then I started thinking, it would have been better had I not coached at all. Because then I wouldn't have had these negative interactions with my niece. I wouldn't have all this stress that I've placed on myself. And I would be able to enjoy my time with Jude. That's all the ego. That's all the tears. And it's none of the peace. I don't got to worry about her or them. I started thinking about, they're going to think back on this, on all of our time, all of our energy, and all they're going to think about was that we lost nearly every game. That's my own, I'm bringing that to the table. Do you understand? I have my own idea of what should be. I've brought my own pride. I'm going to do a good thing. We're going to win and be good. The girls are going to do this and that and the other. And I have this preconceived picture of what should be. And when it is not that thing, that disconnect, that dissonance causes me pain. That's a relatively minor form of pain. But in all things, it's our ego that causes us to do these things. We define ourselves by our job, by our people, by our present circumstances. And we worry that if those things change, that that will somehow hurt us. But the fact of the matter is that nothing will ever be like this. Next week will not be like this week. 10 years will not be like right now. 10 years ago wasn't like right now. The only thing that stays the same is that things don't stay the same. And so the way to get peace is to humble yourself, to stop setting up the picture of what you think should happen. Because when it inevitably fails, you will suffer the pain of your own pride, of your own downfall. If you can humble yourself and follow the Holy Spirit, then whatever comes will be good because His plans are good. If I could rewind time, or moving forward in volleyball, I'm doing better. Doing coaching was a good thing. But I should have been coaching with humility in my heart. Being of service, and then anything that comes after that. Expecting Lily and Jude and the rest of the girls to behave a certain way was arrogance on my part. Did that track? Am I communicating this well enough? I can't be worried about how they are doing, or how we are doing, or what they will think. I have to humble myself and do the best I can to coach them, to teach them, to be patient with them. Not for them, for me. Then the peace that I have will allow me to do that better. It's like that with all things. I have to humble myself so that I can hear the word of the Lord. The awareness that the Holy Spirit provides will lead me into all truth. I used to think that Dad kind of preached about the same thing every week. I got to get a whiteboard so I could, because it helps me to write things down and stay on track. But I often feel like I preach about the same thing every week. But there are awareness is multifaceted. So there are many parts of awareness. Being aware will lead me into humility. Being aware will lead me into peace. Being aware will lead me into compassion. Being aware will lead me into good health. The awareness of the Holy Spirit can lead me into behaving in a humble state. And that will bring me peace. Adversely, being aware, or not adversely, in addition to that, being aware will lead me into compassion. And I think peace and compassion are the same thing. The second Bible verse, Matthew chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Pick up from 15. But Jesus was aware of this, withdrew from there. Mary followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads the justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope. Isaiah and the Old Testament proclaim they prophesy of the coming of Jesus. And Jesus, it says, he's not going to quarrel. He's not going to cry out. And he's not going to hear his voice in the streets, drawing attention to himself. I've mentioned here before, but I don't mention it outside, that I pray every day. The reason that I pray is because I need his guidance. But the other reason that I pray is because I want to have compassion for the people around me. I want to have compassion for them because I know what it's like to suffer. And I believe that the Holy Spirit gives me power to help them in their suffering. But also, having compassion for people around me helps me to humble myself. We think so often that there's not enough to go around, especially in kind of capitalistic Western societies. I'm not a communist, don't worry about it, Mom. But that for me to have more, someone else may have less. We think so often about us and them, right? So we got to, not to sound too political, but we got to close the borders. We got to do this and that and the other. And we got to build up our army because we got to protect ourselves. And I'm not a politician. Those answers aren't up to me. But in my own personal life, I don't want to see myself as me and everyone else. Jesus says two commandments: love him and love them. He does not say, love only the Jewish people, or only the Gentile people, or only the American people, or only the Laker fans. To love all of them. So by having compassion for them, I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I'm humbling myself because I want them to have the same happiness that I have. The compassion and the humility bring me peace. By having compassion for my students or having compassion for the players on my team, I need to have patience. And if I can have patience and compassion for them, I'll have peace in my own mind. Did that make sense? Each and every circumstance has a relatively simple but hard to enforce solution. And I just got to remember to follow that. I would warn you, and I try and warn myself in this, be careful about whataboutism. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were telling me about what was going on in their life. And it was very painful, and it was very difficult, and it broke my heart, and I had compassion and prayed for them. But the enemy then started to lie to me. Well, how could it be true that God wants everybody to be happy and healthy and peaceful when you see so much suffering, right? What about this? What about this? What about all of these other things that would seem to detract from your point? But that is irrelevant. The peace and the compassion are what's important. I can't be worried about all of the other things and why this and why that. I can only be worried with following the voice and being compassionate and being humble and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The cynicism that can keep us from following that voice. You can ask any child from anywhere around the world whether loving or hating is better, and they'll tell you loving. You can ask any reasonable-minded person if it's better to give or receive, whether it's better to hurt or help. All of us know these basic fundamental truths, and yet all of us somehow live in a world filled with worry, fear, anxiety, hate, bigotry. How could it be? Because the enemy is sowing the tares. He's sowing the tares, and we're allowing him to do it. We give ourselves excuses. We rationalize our inability to follow the Holy Spirit. But that's the lie. That's the ultimate tear. The humility and the compassion is not for them. It's for you. It's for me. The Holy Spirit guides us out of all things. He says, "What I tell you in darkness will be revealed in the light." I have a friend who posts Bible verses on Instagram all the time. And then I think to myself, who does she think she is? And if I'm not careful, that thought will take me away. Who does she think she is? Whoever she wants to be, Gabriel, which is none of your business. You got to be focused on yourself. Compassion does not have prerequisites. I don't only be compassionate except for people who think differently than I do. People always talk about how America is divided, and we never talk about how America is unified. We talk about how America is divided, and then we justify our own bad behavior by saying, look at those idiots who are so divided. We cannot be concerned with what other people are thinking or feeling or doing. It ruins churches, it ruins families, it ruins lives. I got to humble myself constantly, daily, for my own mental well-being. Constantly thinking about what other people think, about what other people are doing. It is irrelevant to following the voice, the compelling nature of the Holy Spirit. This is a stupid thing, and I'm going to cut my hair soon. But I started growing my hair out, partially because the guy who cuts my hair was so stoned that he forgot my appointment twice. But partially because I've been a very vain person nearly my whole dang life. And my vanity keeps me from hearing the Holy Spirit. When I was a young man, I identified as a person who did pretty well with the ladies. And even after I got married and had kids, it stayed there subconsciously. Tears in the system. I gotta root them out. I find them, I root them out, and I burn them. And I move forward. I can't be concerned with past wrongs. I used to run from them and hide from them. Oh, Gabe, you're so stupid. Oh, my goodness, what did the people think when you were doing that stupid thing that was so dumb? And I would hide from it, and it would have power over me. So instead, I shine my light of awareness directly on it and just sit in that uncomfortable feeling. And the light of awareness and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit grant me release from it. It burns it up. I'm free from it. Thank you, Jesus. How can we live in a world so beautiful and focus on all the misery? You have any idea what people in the 1830s would have done to go to the dentist without somebody just banging their teeth out with a hammer? And we just focus on the injustices of it all. How was your flight? Oh, my gosh, don't even get me started, dude. This guy took his shoes off. Socks, just on the floor. The humility of focusing on yourself is the most liberating thing on this planet. Because the Holy Spirit is faithful to lead you. The problem is, we spend so much of our time, we don't even know that we're doing it. We spend so much of our time where we're just on autopilot. We're just thinking of things and reacting to things. We have to actively be aware. The enemy lives in the gray area. They say he lives in the dark. Maybe he does. But he lives in the gray area. I don't know whether this is that. Take time in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening to focus your awareness. And when you find yourself thinking about other people or thinking about what you deserve, that's a tear. Rip it out. Not for them. For you. If you're only coaching Gabriel so that you get the good things that you wanted, then you're not doing it right. And everybody will see it. It will manifest. The tear will manifest. You coach to be of service, Gabriel, and if you're being of service, it does not matter what the looks you get are. It does not matter if you get skunked every week. And then there's freedom. After every game, mom would be like, well, you guys play pretty well. And I just go off and off and off and off. That's the tear. It's in there. I have so many tears, I can't even tell you about it. But I just tear them out one by one. That was a double entendre. Because the Holy Spirit is faithful as long as I'm willing to humble myself and listen to Him. I have compassion. I love the people around me because if I love them, then I won't be concerned about what they're thinking. And that robs the enemy of the fear and anxiety he creates in my life. I love the Holy Spirit because if I love Him, then I'll follow Him and He'll show me the tears I need to remove. Because the enemy is a liar. He's a liar. He's a father of the lie. What lie? The lie. The lie that holds us back. The lie that has us defining ourselves by how many people are in the pews, by how much money's in our account, by the type of car we drive, by the coworker's salary, by all of those things. Jesus says, foxes have their holes, lions have their dens, but the Son of Man has no home. And yet He lived in peace and happiness because He didn't need those things, because He was connected in with the vine. That's what I want. That's what I want, and I'm going to get it. Little by little by little by little. But it's not out there. It's in here. It always has been. Be mindful this week. Be mindful this week. He will lie to you. But He's not a serpent. It's that white noise, that gray area. that fuzzes out your focus. Is driving the car, all of a sudden you're at work. How did this happen? All of a sudden some song or whatever comes on and we're just distracted all of the time. Be mindful. Take time in the morning, in the afternoon, at evening. If you behave like everyone else, you'll be like everyone else. Man, so good. That's just the lies are constantly always coming up. We just got to be faithful to constantly be bringing our awareness back in. I've had a lot of freedom, a lot of growth. My family can attest to you how I used to not be able to be around anybody eating. It's the weirdest thing. People munching and crunching. And then I would think, like, why are they doing, right? And my attention, my focus goes to that thing that I think is wrong. But the Holy Spirit was faithful and is faithful. And when I hear that crunching and I start to feel the irritation, the Lord humbles me. Gabriel, they're just eating. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about yourself. Thank you, Lord. And I get the freedom. For like 7 months, Aiden has not once talked about me being angry in traffic. Because I've got that freedom. I brought the awareness of the Holy Spirit to it. I try to have compassion for the drivers around me. I try to humble myself. You're not more important than them, man. You're not meeting the president. I don't know why I always do the Holy Spirit's voice like sarcastic, but... But the point is, by humbling myself and by having compassion for others, that seemingly very little thing, that pain, that anxiety is gone. It can be the same here and in all areas. I desperately want my older sister to start coming to church. Not for me, but for her. Because we're building something here that's a community that's different. In most churches, they get caught up on who makes the decisions, who has the money, who has the direction. But the church will flourish when we humble ourselves, and we are humble here. We decide what we're going to read. We're going to decide when we're going to pray. And there's beauty, there's help, and there's peace in that. I've seen so many times well-intentioned, good people tear each other apart as all of them insist that they're right. Compassion and peace through awareness of Him who created all things. He will lead us. He will lead us. He will lead us. And it doesn't matter if we're 13, 30, or 70, 100. The journey continues. It continues. Day and day and day. We're not our age. We're not our salary. We're none of those things. We're attentive to it. We humble ourselves. We have compassion for those around us because He who understands and knows all told us, and I trust His advice. If my brother says something about my iPhone, and then my buddy at work says a different thing, I'm going to listen to my brother. He knows what he's talking about. And when it comes to truth and knowledge and peace and wisdom and love, I want to go to the source. But to do that, I got to break it all down. I got to be willing to tear out. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this time. Thank you because on my journey, so often I step out of bounds, I feel like. The path is narrow. But having this opportunity to be with you all. It means so much to me. And if I can support you in any way, if we can support each other, I pray for Josette because I love her. I pray for you guys because I love you. But before I do any of that, I pray for me. Lord, grant me wisdom and awareness, peace and compassion, Lord. And I do it every morning. And then sometimes by the afternoon, I'm thinking, why did my daughter clean her room? But if I then do it in the afternoon, aha, now I've doubled my wisdom income. I don't know, how would Chuck would say it, Ash? And if I can do it at night, and then if I can do it morning, afternoon, and night, and then if I could do it morning and mid-morning and afternoon, and He leads me into all the truth. He leads me into all the truth. And He may lead me into all truth. I don't know. My journey's not over. To be continued, Hector. Thank you so much for this time. Be persistent this week. He is faithful. He is faithful. We got to be faithful. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You got to open the door. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this people. Thank you for this city. Thank you for this world, Lord. You are good, and you are faithful. Help us this week, Lord, to be faithful. Humble us, Lord. Help us to be the kind of people that you are. Compassionate, kind, forgiving, loving, persistent, faithful. Give us energy this, Lord. Give us energy this week, Lord. Remind us in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, to be faithful, to seek your guidance, to pray and bring the awareness that you can give, to find those tares and to root them out and burn them up. Protect us this week and bring us back next week, Lord, filled with praise reports and good news of your faithfulness and love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.